This is Nintendo Dreamcast episode 68, right?
Yep. May the 4th edition. Star Wars.
Yep.
A Vanity Fair spread looks pretty sexy, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody's all pissed off because Kylo Riley, whatever his name is, Kylo Ren, they're like, oh, he looks like a teenager. I'm like, whatever. He looks badass. He's got black on. Not everybody wears a mask because they're horribly fucking disfigured.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I'm excited because Gwendolyn Christie, is that her name? Captain Phasma. I thought she looked cool. She's Brienne of Tarth in Game of Thrones. She's right. Playing the Chrome Trooper in the new Star Wars.
The Lady Death Trooper in the Chrome Helmet.
Yeah, she has the metal Stormtrooper armor on. And she's in like the trailer and everything.
The trailer.
And then she's also, if you click that link and look at the photos, she.
I didn't look at any photos or watch any trailers.
Full spread.
Danny's a purist.
Yeah. You don't like Star Wars?
No, I just don't watch trailers or get any kind of preview information.
Okay, so the trailer, what happens? Can I tell you?
Sure.
Before you do that, you know how we were talking how we were surprised that Star Wars and Batman vs. Superman wasn't in front of the movie we watched? Remember when we went to the Avengers? My friend Salt in Louisville, they were both in front of his.
Oh.
So I just thought it was kind of crazy.
Maybe it was just because it was DC versus Marvel. Like, fuck them, we're not putting their trailer.
Yeah, he had both of them, so I was surprised we didn't get either.
Oh, no, I was just joking. I wasn't going to spoil it.
Oh, the trailer?
It was all kinds of spoilers.
Like trailers get, I don't watch the trailers, the official things. They get diluted down to me through the internet. Like I saw all of the like posts that people, like comics people drew and stuff, making fun of the different trailers. Mm-hmm. Like I've seen the Sith sort, like the
You should Sith. Definitely watch the new trailer. It's really good.
I've seen the Sith lightsaber. The reason I don't like trailers is because they're designed to hype you up and then make you like. Go see the first day it comes out, or like just keep like they generate all these hype for a product they haven't even really promised is going to be worth it yet.
I think they promised that it's going
to
be worth it.
No, I mean you can't really promise that. Like Destiny, 4 years they had trailers. I'm just saying, like that it's the same sort of thing for me. I want to enjoy the movie, and if I watch trailers and look at pictures and stuff like that for a year, and then the movie comes out and it's only okay, I'm going to be really disappointed. But if I have no preconceptions going into it whatsoever, I know I'll enjoy it.
Okay, imagine this. It opens up in the desert. You see somebody in the background riding a speeder.
As the
camera pans right, you see what looks like the destroyed remains of an X-Wing. But wait, there's more. As the camera keeps panning, you see a destroyed Star Destroyer laying in the desert. You want to go on? Do you want to
Is that when the Stormtrooper comes up and takes his helmet and he's black and he's hyperventilating?
Different trailer.
Different trailer. Different teaser.
Yeah, it's awesome. You see all kinds of... So it's not the Empire anymore. It's the First Order. See all kinds of new stormtroopers. You see a new Sith-looking guy. He might be a Sith. We don't know because this trailer doesn't ruin anything. Danny just teases. It's not there to entice you. It's there to hold
teasing
you
and enticing make sure that you know
everything's
thing.
Okay and the movie's going to be amazing.
I just get hyped and then I have nowhere to output this energy.
There, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll watch trailers once the movie is out.
I
can like them and then go to the movie.
I'll say about both the trailers, I'm so much more excited about the new stuff than like Mark Hamill and Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Like when they pop up, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. I've already seen your story. I hope you die in the first movie.
Yeah.
These new characters look really cool, and I want to see what their story is.
I don't think there's any way they can do that without it being like at least a little bit gimmicky, have the old people in there.
Well, I think Mark Hamill, the way they set him up, was really cool. The end of the trailer where like Han Solo was like, we're home. Like that was kind of cheesy. But the voiceover from Mark Hamill I thought was really cool and definitely tied it in. In my mind, I wish that he was the only one from the original and he would be like the crazy old Obi-Wan Kenobi, you know.
Also, I find him really creepy now just from like all the time I've spent with him as the Joker.
He looks really scary in real life.
Yeah,
if you ever see his picture, like he doesn't.
So look. I'm gonna find that hard to get over if he's not an evil character.
Well, he might be an evil character.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You either think any die here or live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
When they did the press release and stuff, they did their initial interview with J.J. Abrams, he said the first movie of the new trilogy will be about passing the torch, and that the second, third will take the new characters and make them the focus. So I think they're just, you'll get nostalgia tie-in, and then the second and third movie will be the new guys front and center.
I'm really excited about that Rogue One movie, the Rogue One spinoff thing.
Yeah, that looks cool. Basically, like, it's a military drama about them stealing the Death Star plans.
They pitched it more like, what's the casino one?
Ocean's Eleven. Wow, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Do you guys watch the show Deadbeat at all on Hulu?
Nope.
I watched one episode, and I was upset that you can't delete stuff from Hulu, because that's how bad that show sucks.
Of course, I'm going to say I liked the show because I did, but I just watched season two, and to get ready to plan to rob a sperm bank, they watch all three Ocean's 11 movies. I thought that was funny.
It's about a guy who smokes a lot of pot and sees ghosts.
Yeah, he's a medium.
Okay, I've heard about that.
It's good.
It's bad.
There's some funny episodes.
Maybe the worst TV show I've ever seen. I've seen a lot of bad
Worse
TV
than Arrow?
Shows. Oh, God, yeah.
I just started watching that, and it is bad.
If you get,
I can't stop watching it.
Here's what I'll tell you about Arrow. If you get past like the first 15 episodes, the last half of the first season and all of second season are really exciting. Yeah. I mean, it's popcorn TV, but it's good.
Like, I really like, I watch it mainly for like the 15 seconds or so per episode that they show of him on the island. And then,
oh yeah, that's the big hook for the first like season. Yeah,
you get more and more of that.
Okay.
I just like that.
Like, I don't give a shit about his relationship problems or
he wears a hood. Stupid. He wears a hood and nobody knows who the fuck he is.
Yeah.
It's like every time I wear, like, you know, during the winter, if I have like a hoodie on, I scare the fuck out of Allie every time I come home because she's like, "Who the fuck are you?"
Whoa.
Yeah. Like, oh, sorry, I forgot I had my hood on.
I know, he's like face to face to the love of his life in like one of those episodes with the hood on, and like she has no idea who he is.
It's better in
he's
the second.
Black he's doing eyeshadow. Voice.
It's better in the second season because, like, you know, his ex girlfriend will be there, and she's like the canary, and she's. Has no hood. She just has the Robin goggles. Yeah. And no idea who she is. Like, how do you know? Jesus
Christ.
What is
that mask supposed to hide? Your cheekbones?
The College Humor videos with Pete Holmes doing Batman. The one where everybody's like, they point out like how easy it would be to tell like who Batman was. And they're like, oh, we know you're Bruce. Like, Bruce, we know it's you. He's like, no, you don't. He's like, you don't know what. He's like, Bruce Wayne standing right behind you. They're like, we didn't say Bruce Wayne. He's like, well, look, he's right over there. And all of a sudden, like, they look over and like he turns back around and it's Bruce Wayne in the tux or whatever. He's like, what's up, guys? I was just talking to Batman. And they're like, you still have the eye shadow. Right? And he has all the black eye outlines. It was so funny.
Pete Holmes is great.
Yeah.
But yeah, Arrow's good, man. I really like the Flash. Yeah. Flash is awesome.
Yeah.
It's a lot better than Arrow, in my opinion.
I think it's good.
Is there like crossover between those two series?
Oh yeah, lots of it.
Like in the second season.
I'm like all the way caught up on The Flash, but I watched the Arrow on Hulu and I missed an episode, so it expired.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, fuck it. I can't watch the Arrow anymore. at some point I'll have to go and download the whole season.
What's cool about The Flash is that it's like kind of funny and it's an actual superhero show. Like, he saves people and like nobody hates him and the police department are like, man, we really could use The Flash. It's like the old school superhero stuff and not, I'm a vigilante.
Yeah.
Not gonna break every bone in everybody's body and shoot arrows into their hearts.
Yeah, because in the first season Arrow, he kills motherfuckers like it ain't no joke. So, like...
I do like that.
Yeah. No, I was about to say, I actually liked it when Arrow killed people because, like, if you're going to be, like, a vigilante, at least fucking kill people. I hope that he goes back to that in the third season, maybe. No?
Are you up to date on Arrow?
No, I've only seen up to the second season.
I can see that happening in season three of Arrow.
He always like, you have failed this city.
Oh, yeah. Arrow's gone through some pretty crazy shit right now. It's a pretty good show.
I say that to my wife all the time now.
Failed this
face Maynard. You have failed this household.
That'd be good. I have to use that sometime.
Yeah. Matt's going to have one of those little Nerf bow and arrows around the house.
Like, I'll get you a cat, Danny, so you can have little stories to tell.
I got three kittens.
You can say that to my cat.
You know you want a cat. I got three kittens.
Sir Nibbles, you have failed this household.
Why don't you get a cat? You really don't have to do anything.
I'm allergic to cats.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good reason.
Do you get sick when you come over here?
No. I mean...
You get sick when you come to my house?
No, it's just when I pet them. Like, my hands start swelling up, and then if I rub my eyes start swelling up. I'm not, like, deathly allergic to cats. It's just
get, like, an asshole cat that doesn't want anything to do with you.
Or a hairless cat.
Get a Siamese one, those nasty, ugly-looking bad
ones. Yeah.
Anything exciting this week besides Avengers 2?
We all watched it. We're not going to talk about it. Don't worry. Yeah. Well, Matt didn't watch it.
We were going to go as a podcast, but Matt failed this podcast. So,
Matt, you have failed this podcast.
Sorry, my wife had to work late.
Yeah. Just put the kids to sleep. They would have been fine.
You could let them sleep.
I have a pretty funny story about Avengers, though. You guys want to hear it? This doesn't ruin the movie. But so we all went out to the Avengers, and... You know, before we went, like, Allie went with us, so me and Allie, we were going to go and, like, get dinner and go see the movie. So before we left, I was like, you know what, because we were at the grocery store, I got 2 rawhide bones, like, the big rawhide bones that are, like, meat-flavored or whatever for the dogs. So we were going to be gone for, like, 6 hours, so something to keep there, you know, keep them occupied.
For a while, yeah.
I forgot that Tex, our stupid dog, he will chew through anything, like, he'll eat anything, doesn't matter. Tinfoil, he would sit there and chew on tinfoil. Will not fucking eat rawhide bones for some reason. Like, he won't chew them up. He'll eat entire, like, plastic Nyla bones, but he will not eat the fucking rawhides. So, of course, the other dog eats 2 rawhides. And so I come home. Am I not? No. So I come home, and we get up to the door, and I'm like, what is going on? And I open up. And I shit you not, 26, we counted, piles of shit. And it's liquid shit. Like, it's just like puddles. And the whole fucking floor is covered, 26 piles of shit. It took us, when we got home from the Avengers that night, it took us 2 hours. We had to mop. Echo ate both of them. I guess she got clogged up or whatever.
Yeah.
And her entire, like, back end was just covered in liquid shit. So I had to put her in the bath. And it smelled so bad. Like, I've never smelled it. Smelled like hot fire, like a burnt turd, like a burnt liquid turd. And so I'm like putting her in the bathtub, and she's playing, and it's just hot shit soup because the bathtub water is brown, and it's like getting into my mouth and my face and all over my clothes. And I'm just, this is why we don't have children, because I wanted to drown her. But yeah, that was.
You wonder why I don't have any.
And then we like go to bed or whatever. I wake up about 7 o'clock in the morning, and that smell hits me again. I'm like, God, fucking, I got it up all over the kitchen again. It was only like 10 piles this time. So 7 o'clock in the morning, I took her out into the yard, and I'm like, fuck it, and just got the water hose and just sprayed her down. But yeah, hot shit soup, dude. I know what it tastes like, but I think it was so shocking mentally that I have that control over my brain. I just shut it down. Shut it down. I can't tell you what it tasted like. I just locked it completely out.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
So we all had made plans to go see it Thursday night. Thursday night. And on Wednesday, as I'm driving to Flip Daddy's for like trivia, my brother calls me and he's like, hey, Danny, would you want to see Avengers this weekend?
Does your brother listen to this podcast?
No, he doesn't. he asked me if I'd like to see it on Saturday, and I've almost invited him to come with us, but I'm like, if I do that, I know he's going to say no, because he has to go to bed. Like, I wasn't sure what time we were going to see it yet. I thought we were still going to like a midnight release at that point.
Because I thought that's what like midnight showings were.
But no, we ended up going at like 7
o'clock.
They started
at 7 in the evening.
So I thought we might go to like a midnight showing, and he has to like get up at like 5:30 in the morning to like go. So I know if I asked him to come to a midnight showing, he would say no. And then he would know that I had gone to a midnight showing because he was calling me because he couldn't find anyone else to go with him. Like,
yeah.
His friend couldn't go that weekend. He really wanted to see that weekend. And I thought his wife wouldn't go with him because she has on multiple occasions expressed how much she hates the first Avengers movie. Like, she thinks it's dull.
Satanic.
What?
I don't know. It's too much talking for her for some reason.
What?
I don't know. I can't even. We watched the whole movie together, and she's like, "I felt every minute of that entire movie."
she was in a bad mood or something.
Yeah, she was. Yeah. She thought it would be awful. So I thought my brother was just looking for someone to go.
But she really liked Transformers 4.
Yeah. She hated it, but she dragged us to that. But she didn't really like it either. we had one of those 30-minute discussions on the car ride home, just trashing the movie, every single little piece of it.
You saw Transformers 4?
We did. Oh, I mean, and it's never my idea to go to these movies. Like, now she wants to go see, like, we have this friend, Neil, who's, like, obsessed with the Fast and Furious series, and he's somehow convinced her that Fast and Furious 7 is good, but she doesn't want to see the seventh movie without seeing the rest of them. So now she wants to marathon the other six Fast and the Furious movies.
That's a bad way to do it.
If my mother contracted fatal butt cancer and was dying in a week, and the last wish she had was, can we watch all six Fast and the Furious movies? I'm like, I'm sorry, you're going to die with a giant hole in your heart, because I will not do that for you.
Tokyo Drift is actually a pretty decent movie.
I've semi-agreed to do it, because like I know she's going to make my brother do it, and I've semi-agreed on the condition we do it in my house, because then I can just walk away and do something else at any given point. Like, get on my computer and just start playing a game, just trying to drown out the noise of Fast and Furious.
Family.
You know what? Speaking of, like, horrible movies in the trailers, at the beginning of the awesome trailers we saw was, what is it called, Rescue?
It was San Andreas.
San Andreas. So it opens up. Picture this, Matt. It opens up. You see The Rock, and he's got like a, you know, it's rugged. He's got some aviators on. He's walking through the, maybe like the desert. I don't remember. And like a voiceover, like, The Rock is a rescue-saving helicopter man who rescues people with his helicopter, and the world is about to end. And then you see, like, the earthquake and, like, people. And, like, right before the earthquake starts, I'm sorry, he's in the helicopter because he pilots the helicopter and he rescues people. And he's on the phone with his wife, and he's like, you know, baby, we're gonna make this relationship work, and I love you. We're gonna take some time off. I'm gonna rescue this relationship, which I felt was like the next line.
Right.
All of a sudden, like the earthquake starts happening while he's on it, and he's like, "I'll be right there to rescue you." And so he shows up and rescues his wife in the middle of, and I shit you not, he rescues about 5,000 fucking people in this 30-second trailer. I really want to see this movie now. Yeah. It's just a montage of The Rock rescuing people.
Is it just like Choplifter or something?
I think it's Choplifter the movie, yeah. No, yeah.
It's like 2012, but instead of being a limo driver, he's a helicopter pilot that rescues people.
Yeah, is it a Roland Emmerich movie? I feel like it has to be. There's no way. I mean, there's like shots of like tomorrow. Buildings falling down and tidal waves.
He says it's called San Andreas.
Yeah. And The Rock rescues some kids under some rubble, like an old lady crossing the street, just people falling out of windows, you know, and his chopper, he like sides it in. Kind of, you know how you would like drive a car and you would go onto two wheels? He does that with the helicopter.
It's like about the San Andreas fault line, how it's supposed to be one of the most volatile fault lines out there.
And only one man can rescue California. Yeah, Rock. I think he rescues every single person in California. It's 2 hours of him rescuing a person every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
But it starts with his marriage. He rescues that first.
But that's important. Well, it's Brad Peyton. I don't know who that is. Yeah. Character.
I ended up seeing event. So I didn't want my brother to know I saw it on Thursday. Right. So I just told him, yeah, I'll go see it with you. So I saw it on Thursday and saw it again 2 days later on Friday. And I didn't even buy popcorn. I always buy popcorn when I go to the movies. I didn't even get popcorn because I had eaten popcorn all Thursday night and had like the leftover popcorn. Yeah. And I had eaten popcorn all day Friday too, basically.
You bring your popcorn home with you?
Yeah.
Do you not have food in your cabin?
What's wrong? I love popcorn.
Yeah, it's really good. You always got to get the large so you can refill it right before you leave.
Yeah, you throw it away.
No.
It's popcorn.
I brought it home, and me and Charlie snacked on it because after our movie, I went and got Charlie, took her home.
I have honestly never heard of anybody doing that ever.
No, the instant it gets cold, people. It's like inedible.
No, it's not.
It stays good fine. For like 2 days afterwards.
It's styrofoam with grease and salt.
Do you know they make the popcorn like a week ahead of time? It's like the popcorn they serve you
No, they don't. I used to work in a movie theater. Yeah. We made it the day of.
Whatever.
Like hours before the movie.
Danny, I'm with you. I do the same thing every time.
Like sometimes when you close down, you would bag up the popcorn. And then in the morning you dump that popcorn in just so you wouldn't have to cook popcorn right away.
I've known movie theaters to like make popcorn during the slow times and then serve it during the fast times like a day or two later.
Well, regardless, they keep it in that warmer thingy, but it's still gross when they do that. You can tell. You can tell this is not freshly popped.
Yeah, the next day, me and Charlie ate some of ours, and then we fed the rest of it to birds and groundhogs in the backyard.
I love popcorn.
All right, I mean, you're feeding like, it to birds or groundhogs.
Well, we were eating it too, so I can't like complain. Like,
I love movie popcorn. I don't think it goes bad.
Right there.
As long as you eat it like within a day, it's fine to me.
No.
I always get it, but like halfway through, I'm like, oh, this is horrible.
Yeah, we always get the giant tub. I eat like four or five handfuls and then leave it under the seat.
Yeah. I get the giant tub, eat about half, dump the rest out at the end of the movie, and then get a refill and take it home.
Yeah, that's it.
Why do you dump it out and then take fresh home? Because by the time you eat it, it's not going to be fresh. So it doesn't matter.
It's fresher. Exactly. 2 hours fresher.
2 hours
just
fresher.
Wasting food, guys.
Then your car does smell like popcorn.
Which is a delicious smell.
Touche.
Popcorn smells great everywhere except for like a workplace cafeteria. Like that.
She ended up his wife did see Avengers with us though, and she actually liked this one.
Really?
She's actually a huge fan of The Blacklist. So
nice.
It is pretty much James Spader from The Blacklist. Yeah, but he's a robot.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever seen The Blacklist?
No.
Great
character
show.
He plays a character called Raymond Reddington. He's like a guy. Who was like a criminal tie to every like or known organization in the world, and he kind of gives himself to the FBI and helps them catch these international world criminals that the FBI isn't even aware of.
Oh, wow.
It's really good.
Yeah,
that sounds like a good show.
But
it's like
really good.
His like the whole character is exactly the same as Ultron. He's like very like polite and courteous,
methodical,
and like even humorous, while at the same time being the most evil son of a bitch you'll like ever see in your entire life.
All right, I'm in.
Yeah, Blacklist is good. Yeah. It's
on Hulu. So, I mean. I like when I told her that it was Raymond Reddington, she was like, oh my God, this is going to be awesome then. So it might have been a big selling point for her.
The thing about the movie that was good is that they finally found a villain for Marvel. That's like Loki is good, but he's not a threat. You know what I mean? They just beat the shit out of him like 1 second at the end of Avengers. But Ultron is like a threat. He's powerful. He's intelligent, like a good villain. So hopefully he shows up in later things.
Nice.
So what have you guys been playing? Destiny, that's all I play
ever.
Like 8 hours a day now.
What about you? What do you mean, Matt? We'll leave me and James for last.
crap. A lot of Resident Evil Revelations 2 raid mode. A little bit of the campaign. Still kind of inching my way through that with Cordelia. But mainly when I play it by myself, I do raid mode. I don't know. It's fun.
Raid mode? I've never played the game.
It's just like this... like online progression, like RPG kind of like light mode that you go in, there's like these things called gauntlets. It's like, you know, 5 or 6 levels in a gauntlet.
It's
you gotta
like,
go through.
Have you ever played Gears of War?
Yeah.
Is it like
Horde? No, I haven't, but I know.
Is it like Horde mode where just like waves of enemies just like wash towards you and you have to kill them all?
A little bit, but it's more like you're going through these, like it has like hundreds of levels, and they're like levels from like all the RE games, which is part of the appeal of it.
Oh wow. Okay.
So you go through like a little closed off portion of this level, and like zombies pop out and
Resident Evil 2 police station?
Yeah, I think that's in there somewhere. I haven't seen it yet because I'm only like halfway through it. But
now, is it like a time based, got to clear it kind of thing? Or
some of them are like one level per gauntlet will be time based, and then there's one level that's like, you know, protect the thing from getting hurt. And those levels are honestly the worst. I hate those. But like,
you like just to kill everything levels,
right? Yeah, like? Yeah. Just
I still remember when I played Resident Evil 2 Raccoon City Police Station. I was like, how is this a government building? like there's like statues you move to open secret doors. I'm like, how did this get sanctioned?
Yeah. that builder guy. I'm not going to get into it. Yeah. There is an explanation in Resident Evil 4.
Yeah, there's the same
it's
guy.
It's long-winded and
designs
stupid.
Everything. I honestly think if I had like grid paper in front of me, I could draw a majority of that main floor of that police station, like just from memory right now.
See, I never played that one that much, so.
Oh, really?
But, so... Yeah, you unlock different characters and you level those characters up, and you get these medals every time you go through a thing. And one of the medals is complete the thing at the right level. But every time you complete like a level in a gauntlet, it levels you up like 2 or 3 levels, especially in the beginning. So you have to constantly go back and play through those levels with the other characters in order to get
that.
So
if it's got a requirement that says beat at level 5 and you're level 6, you can't get that one on that.
Right, right. Okay. Or you can lower your character's level. I just figured that out this week.
You can knock your level back.
Yeah, yeah. I think they may have just added that.
Oh, okay.
But I could be wrong.
That's That sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah, and but in order to unlock the other levels, you have to get like a certain amount of medals. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. So I played that and Pure Solar, which is meant to kind of. I think that I want to say this is like a, it was originally a game made by independent people for the Genesis, like years after the Genesis came out, like stopped being a thing. But it's basically like a. It's a like an old school 16-bit RPG in presentation and style, but it's, you know, a little more advanced than that.
So, I didn't mean to cut you off. What were you going to say?
No, I just started it, so I don't really like have a whole lot to say about the battle system. It's, I don't know. It's got the mechanic where you can like wait a turn and like build up your strength, mm-hmm. kind of like Bravely Default, but not as fleshed out.
I don't need to play a game. I'm so bad with handheld games.
Anything else?
Shit. I know I played something else.
What was it?
What the fuck was it? I don't know. Go on. Maybe I'll remember it.
What about you, Ish?
I know I played some Destiny, just not with you guys. I've been
what?
Playing. Yeah, I've been playing on my own.
What the fuck?
Because like when he made the joke earlier, I was actually playing earlier when he made the joke that like when people pull somebody, like dude, Destiny might like I don't like I said before, I'm not really into the raid stuff, so I like
oh then there's nothing for you to do.
Exactly, what I do is mindless stuff where I just do the bounties, run around, kill stuff, and
yeah.
I collect the resources, and now I can change them out for marks, which I didn't know I could do before. So. To upgrade my stuff.
Yeah.
So the only thing I need left to upgrade my stuff is one exotic shard when he comes back this weekend.
Yeah.
And I'll be a 30.
That's definitely something they added recently where you could get 20 of the planetary materials for 10 marks.
Yeah.
Because I've looked at ancient Destiny videos and that's one of the key complaints they made is like, farming you gotta resources. Go from like cave to cave collecting these fucking resources.
I knew there were like chest runs on the moon and stuff. I knew I wasn't crazy that those, it was crazy to collect all that.
Yeah.
So I played some of that. I downloaded the Game of the Year version of State of Decay that just came out on Xbox One. Did you guys play that on 360 at all?
I did not.
It was like a third-person zombie shooter. It was sort of like The Walking Dead.
Yeah, my brother asked me about the game. I'm like, what is State of Decay? And they're like, oh, it's like a zombie game.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, wait, that's Dying Light. State of Decay is probably a zombie game, too.
It's like it is a zombie game, and it's sort of like Dead Island in the sense you have to walk around and do missions. It's like an RPG light where you got to get upgrades and stuff. I never finished the game on 360, even though there were some DLC packs and stuff. Mm-hmm. But now this time around, it's got all four DLC packs with it. So I just barely touched into that. I got to get back into that. Besides that, on Destiny, I've just been upgrading stuff. I was telling James earlier, I logged in. Somehow I had an exotic Ingram that I never knew I had.
Wow.
So I
maybe that did you? What was the last time you played?
The other day when I logged in and had the Ingram, it was...
I guess you had to have played... I was thinking maybe if you hadn't played in a while, maybe it was part of like a Christmas pack or something.
No, I played a week, two weeks ago. Yeah,
I just remembered that.
When we were trying to do the raid. So that would have been the last time up until last week. But and I had that. So it was some chest armor for a warlock, which just happens to be my alt. So
nice.
I'll use it eventually. Other than that, I've just been doing bounties, getting my different reps up with the different factions. I'm more of a completionist rather than like get the ultimate gear set and do stuff like that. I did a little bit of Iron Banner. I did about four rounds of it. Got a couple good things, a couple Ingrams. I'm about to hit level 11 on the Cryptarch. I don't know what I'll get for that.
The Cryptarch is every time you level up, you just get a couple of random engrams. And you get to, usually they're like legendaries, so you just decode them and you get, oh, sweet.
When did you hit level 10? Because I think you get an exotic engram when you hit level 10.
Oh, maybe that's how you got that exotic engram then.
That makes sense. Yeah, but because I had a lot of, I like to save with the Ingrams, and I just sit there and cash them in, so I can see the little bar tick around the square a lot.
Yeah,
I definitely got that mindset to where I like to see the little bars move up.
Yeah,
so that's my whole thing is with getting rep, getting marks, and stuff like that. And I was doing the daily story today, and I got right to the end of it, like the daily heroic level for the, like the Ingram and all the points and stuff. And of course, I got booted from the servers right at the very end of the shit.
They've actually been having a lot of server problems all week.
Yeah, I looked it up
and it said
they've been having some.
I think it's Destiny has been running an event all week called Iron Banner. And it's a really popular event because they only do it like once every 3 months or something. And it's supposed to give you it's like a really cool looking set of armor. And they have these special weapons that are Iron Banner weapons. And they're supposed to be some of the best PvP weapons in the game. So a lot of people like jump on the Iron Banner to get those awesome PvP weapons.
Yeah, I didn't go too hot and heavy in that because I'm not a big machine gun user.
Yeah.
I stick with the rocket launcher pretty much, or the shotgun pretty much. And so, yep. Other than that, that's about it.
Cool.
Not much.
I remembered. I played the Puzzle and Dragons Mario.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just the demo.
The demo.
The actual game mechanics are fun. I mean, it's match three, but
yeah.
I mean, somehow when you add in like the Mario aesthetic and like the noises and everything,
I want to play it. I'll probably get it.
Yeah, it gets super addictive. So I don't know. Yeah, it has like hearts. So like you're constantly getting beat up, but there's like life you can match, like always on the board. So it's like a constant struggle between whether you're going to hit or match these life things.
When does that come out?
June 22nd, I think.
What platforms is it on?
3DS.
3DS.
I'm sure it'll be on like mobile in like a year or two.
So, like just random tangent, I remembered. Earlier this week, I was just fooling around on Steam, and I saw that there's some game on sale called Uncanny Valley, and I just remembered you had used that phrase in the last episode that we did. I can't remember why, but it's not something I hear every once in a while. So I was like, I guess I'll just look at what this is. I didn't buy it, so this isn't really a recommendation or anything. But it was like a little like 8-bit sort of game, like horror game, and it looked okay. It's supposed to have like multiple endings and stuff. But it was weird for me that I just saw the title Uncanny Valley, and I just associated it with you, and I couldn't figure out why. And I remember then I listened to the last episode, and you say, I don't remember what we were talking about. You say like really Uncanny that. Valley.
Does the game have like disturbingly realistic 3D models in it or something?
No, it's not at all. It's like all 8-bit graphics.
Okay.
So it's like a throwback retro. It's supposed to be like a retro survival horror game or something.
Sounds cool.
Yeah. I don't know. Check it out. It's like only like $10. I'll probably buy it at some point. It's on my wish list. I'm just waiting for a sale or something.
Did you play Daylight? Is that the one you said you played?
I never played it. I was just talking about it because it's made by Atlus, and the Atlus is the same company that makes Persona 4. But I've been down this road before. Persona games are awesome, but like 95% of the games Atlus puts out are just utter crap. Like,
yeah, they used to be like no misses at all.
Yeah, they used to have like Shin Megami Tensei was like all these like cool different universes that always revolve around demons and stuff like that. They had like Nocturne and Persona and all kinds of different franchises within the same demon universe. But it's the other crap that they always put out, these stupid games on like 3DS, like Sword of Rohan or something like that. It was like terrible games. Like I think there's a game called Conception. I'm sure that's awful. I never played it. But
they put out the first Demon Souls, though, didn't they?
Atlus?
Am I totally fucked about that?
I
could be wrong.
I don't know. They might. I never played the first Demon Souls game, so I can't recall. But I would be very surprised if they put out Demon Souls.
Yeah.
Did they?
I mean, it's coming up late in the search. But yeah, I bought Daylight also, and I played through like
an hour of that.
It's so fucking boring and annoying. Like,
yeah.
You just kind of wander around in this dark.
Yeah, it was like a horror game with a randomly generated map every time you play it, and you're supposed to like get objectives.
Oh, is the map randomly generated?
Yeah,
that makes more sense. Okay, I might give it another.
It's supposed
shot.
To be like a new gaming experience every time you play it. That sort of appeal, like if that's the kind of thing you're looking
like
for,
like a roguelite.
Yeah, like a roguelike. To be perfectly honest, people use roguelike as an excuse to make really bad games for some reason.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it's becoming synonymous with like games that most people aren't going to like.
I forgot what the name of the game was, but I saw an advertisement or like an article about a game that was supposed to be coming out sometime in the near future. It heralded itself as like a Legend of Zelda roguelike game where like the story was different each time you played it and stuff like that. And I'm like, half the reason I like Zelda is because it's a good foundation, like off honestly great storyline or something. I feel like if you to turn it into a roguelike, you have to degenerate it into like three or four like quests or something, and So it wouldn't feel like a continuous storyline at all.
Yeah, there's no way that's going to be like a really well-developed world and like,
I know.
Lots of interesting places to explore.
I was like, I like how they call it a Legend of Zelda game, but if it's going to be a roguelike, it's not going to be living up to the potential that I look for in a Zelda game.
I did see a really cool roguelike. It was called, it was actually like a slash between a roguelike and a rhythm game. It was called Necrodancer.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
I've seen that on Humble Store. They always have sales.
Yeah, it looked really good. Like Rogue Legacy kind
of
good.
Yeah. Rogue Legacy is an example of a good rogue game. They kind of understood what they needed to do and just put it together.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Demon's Souls was definitely published by Atlas.
Oh, it was?
Oh. Yeah. I remember seeing that Atlas thing when it came up, thinking it was really weird that they published that.
Back on subject, me and James have been grinding Iron Banner all week, and it really has been a base. Like, well, the stupid thing is, I still wanted to do all the other stuff I normally do on Destiny, so it just meant that I was playing like three times as much this week as I ever do.
A lot of fun. I liked Iron Banner a lot.
Yeah, it was. It's
the thing about Iron Banner that separates it from the regular Crucible is that you have to win to get rewarded.
Yeah.
So it definitely made us, for the first time, we sought out four strangers on the internet and formed a team and actually turned on the mics and communicated with them, which usually in Crucible, you just get in and just go and murder people. Because if you lose, you get 2 points. If you win, you get three. So it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Iron Banner, you get nothing if you lose.
Yeah, well, not as almost nothing. Like in regular Crucible, you'll get like 10 rep and 2 marks if you lose, and 15 rep and 3 marks is like no difference at all. In Iron Banner, what they did is if you lose, you get a medallion.
Yeah.
And you can hold up to 5 medallions. And once you win a game, you redeem the medallions for like 80% of a victory. So you're not... If once you've won a game, you're not really... You've only lost out on, like, 20% of whatever each match you're playing.
Yeah,
but if you lose more than 5 times, you stop holding medallion. So every loss after 5 means you got absolutely nothing from the game. So we would, like, me and James would queue up, and we'd be like, ah, it's too tiring to try and find a team. Let's play a couple. And then we'll, like, lose 3 games in a row, and we're like... Let's find a team before we start wasting our time.
Random teams, like if you don't have a headset and you're using the Kinect, the game doesn't support the Kinect
in team chat.
Team chat. So if you're not in a team with people that are talking, like nobody talks. The game is the way Iron Banner is. It's a 3 flags, capture the flag kind of deal, and you really have to.
Vocally, more like King of the Hill.
Yeah, you have to vocally like coordinate where like what points are going and call out certain things. So it's definitely a much more enjoyable game when you have 6 people calling out shit.
But we've both been playing for the last 4 days for the most part.
Five,
we both got to the max rank.
The random gods saw fit to give Danny a fucking Jolder's hammer on like day 2.
Like a random drop.
I put like 28 hours into it and I have not gotten it yet.
I thought you were going to come if you didn't get one.
An asshole and come to the show.
He's just going to keep playing.
I would have understood. I've been there.
It's annoying because I was like reading on Reddit and everybody is like, yeah, if you put about 20 hours in, you'll get one of the random.
The problem is it's just a complete random drop. Yeah. Like,
and the problem is I have not gotten it yet.
No way to control it whatsoever.
Yeah.
Nice. I probably get on. I might get on tonight. I might just say, fuck it. I don't know if I even have the shards and stuff to level it up anyway. Yeah. Right
if
now.
We raided, you'd find that stuff easily. I have like so many shards now.
I need 6 more Ascendant shards and 1 exotic ink.
Yeah, but
I could hit 32 if I had more.
So I'm just like trying to get as much out of Destiny while I'm still interested in it, because it's eventually going to burn me out. I know it. Like I'm going to run out of stuff to do, and I'm just going to be like, I'm going to put it down for like 6 months until another.
Isn't there like new DLC coming out?
That's
soon?
The thing is that's what's keeping me. That's what's keeping me going, because I know in like 2 weeks there's going to be like a whole bunch of fresh content for me to work through. So I just have to be as prepared as possible for when that comes out.
It seems pretty exciting. It seems like there's a lot more content in this expansion than there was in the Dark Below. It doesn't have a raid, but it has like actual shit to do besides raiding.
It's like a, there's like a new PvP mode, and there's like a new PvE mode where it's not like a, it, I guess it's kind of like a raid, but you're supposed to like work together to a,
it's like if you played WoW, you know the difference between like an instance and a raid.
Yeah,
they're putting in an instance, which is like a three-man raid, kind of like it's kind of like Strike, but it's like between a strike and a raid.
Yeah, right? I don't know. Do they really go into Prison of Elders yet?
Mm-mm.
They've talked a lot about the Trials of Cyrus, which is the 3-on-3 elimination map they're adding.
Is it if is, do you have one life? Is that what
you have one life, but you can be revived by your teammates.
Cool. So if like Ish cared about his friends, wanted to play Destiny, like he could level somebody up at least like 31, and then he could be in our Osiris team.
Before the DLC comes out, I will be at 31 or 32.
Yeah, but the really nice thing is I don't feel a lot of pressure to get to 32 right now, because as soon as the House of Wolves, like to get to 32 right now, you have to have full Crota equipment, which is the second raid, and it's harder.
You have to have banners out. Because you can have
Iron Banner stuff. Iron Banner stuff only gives you 33, isn't it?
36.
Or whatever. But and normally, you have to get like a full set of Crota equipment. It's the only thing you can wear. You have to wear all of it to get to level 32, plus like some sort of exotic. But when House of Wolves comes out, you can upgrade like any legendary piece of armor to be to the max level.
That's why I glimmer farm, so I can get both the gear. That way I don't have to depend on Crota.
Yeah.
How much glimmer do you guys have?
Huh?
I said, how much glimmer do you guys have? Like,
I had like 20,000.
Yeah, the max is 25,000. Okay. We've like, there's this place in the game where you can like get glimmer like really quickly. Like the claims I've seen is you can max out glitter in an hour, even if you have zero glitter. I don't know if that's it's never been the case for me, but
yeah, I've always had a ton.
If I can get 24 shards now, I can get to 32.
I had to spend a lot of glimmer recently because Iron Banner, you can get up to the ranks and then you are able to purchase everything that comes at that rank. Mm-hmm. But the guns are like 11,000 glimmer, and the armor is like 9,000 glimmer. It's like way more glimmer than you've ever had to spend on anything else in the game.
And exotic shards, they only come from Xur, right?
Yep. Yep. Or breaking down an exotic item, you get an exotic shard.
You do?
Yeah.
So if I break down that Warlock chest piece I got today, that'll give me...
Mm-hmm.
I can finish... Oh.
But another thing you can, another thing I've read about, if you level, you know how you level up gear?
Yeah.
Like, you don't even have to actually put the materials in it to get each one, but if you fill up the green circles on all the upgrades and then break down an exotic, you have a chance to get 2 exotic shards.
Ooh.
Just a chance, but
yeah.
Considering all you have to do is just wear it when you turn in bounties, it's not very difficult to level up gear.
We've been playing a lot of Destiny. I like it a lot. I'm probably going to go home and play all night.
Yeah. House of Wolves is coming out May 19th, and I've never done this for a video game before, but I've got a lot of vacation time, and I was thinking about maybe just
taking
that Tuesday off. And
yeah,
just because it's... I never play games at release.
I'll schedule it in the morning if you guys want to do it.
I never play games at release, mostly because I expect them to be cheaper like a month or two later. I know House of Wolves is going to be $20.
Is it
for,
going
like,
to go live on the server refresh on Tuesday morning at 5 a.m.?
I don't know.
Will it be Monday at midnight?
I have no idea, but I'll be up at Monday at midnight. So whenever it's on the server, I'll probably start downloading it, even though that's when everyone's going to do it. So it's going to take like all morning to do it, but at least it'll be like there when I wake up the next day.
You can preload it, can't you?
No.
No, I doubt it. I don't know. I mean, it's 2 weeks away. They haven't really told us a whole lot.
So I was at GameStop talking about House of Wolves, and I was picking up Allie's on the Mario kick again, so to go get another Mario game. And so I was there, and they're like, hey, do you want to pre-order anything? I'm like, no, no. And they're like, oh, I saw that you bought Destiny. I'm like, yeah. They're like, well, won't you pre-order House of Wolves? Comes out May 19th. I'm like, and what would that get me? And they're like, well, you know, you'll be able to play it on May 19th. I'm like, it's DLC, so I can just click buy on Monday night and play it. And they're like, yeah, but you could pre-order, guarantee it. I'm like, guarantee what? And you could just see the guy was like, I don't know, but I'm supposed to try to get you. I'm like,
shit, this guy's way smarter than the moms I usually talk to.
I was like, okay, say I pre-ordered it, what would you give me? They're like, oh, we would give you we would give you
like a redemption code. They print it out on the receipt.
They take your email and like they email you the code or something. I'm like, well, what if I just bought an Xbox Live card for $20 and then I didn't even pre-order it? And they're like, yeah, do you want to do that? And I'm like, no.
James, I was like, trolling little GameStop guy.
I was like, I appreciate it, but I mean, if you guys had said, do you want to download it? Like, you could, you know, if they were like preload or like you get a shader or something, I might have considered it. But
yeah.
I, there's, don't ask me to pre-order something with no incentive.
There's a, there's for, like,
it's not physical. It's not going to sell out anymore.
What Mario game did you get her?
She got the new Super Mario Brothers 2 for 3DS.
While we're talking about, like, Bungie's running this campaign where you can buy a shirt to support Nepal, and if you buy the shirt, you also get a shader in game. So there's like all these people and a banner. Now there's all these people like, so I don't want the shirt. Can I just buy the shade? Because like they're like the shirt's like $25, and they're like, can I just give you like $5 for the shader and the emblem? And people are like, trying to circumvent a system they put in place to help people. Yeah. No one needs the shirt.
Basically, right now, yeah. all you guys are doing are begging for microtransactions, and I won't murder you. But if those of you don't know, if you play Destiny, there's something called shaders. So when you hit level 20, you can use a shader to, because you get all kinds of different pieces of armor, so it's all different colors. But a shader has two color schemes, and it makes makes it uniform.
Yeah. So you can make everything match.
Yeah,
that's cool.
It's almost essential. Otherwise,
if you don't want to look like a fucking peasant,
I like my little Queen's Wrath shader, so that's what I roll with.
Is it pink?
No, it's the purple and gold.
Queen's Wrath is one of those limited events they haven't done in a long time. Apparently, the last time they did it, it really backfired on them, and they had to, like, they were, like, giving away too much stuff, and they, like, revamped it in the middle of the Queen's Wrath event to stop giving away so much crap, and then everyone flipped their shit, and then they just canceled the event.
I like that. So, should we get into some gaming news then?
Sure, why not? We don't really have a movie to talk about tonight. So.
I mean, it's May the 4th. I mean, I think all of us are ready to talk about the fourth installment in a very popular sci-fi movie series.
Oh, are we talking about that tonight? I thought we were going to talk about that next week.
We're talking about May the 4th.
Did you guys all watch it?
Yeah, May the 4th is the day that everybody knows that you talk about Star Trek IV,
The Voyage Home.
Okay. I mean, it's been years since I've seen it. I can probably talk about it.
I watched like the first hour of it to refresh my memory.
I didn't watch it tonight. I've seen it probably 10 times.
Yeah, we used to have it on videotape. We taped it off HBO, and I watched it like 20 times.
I'd say I've got a cool 40, 50 times in.
I mean, I can give us a quick refresher. It opens up at the end of...
Search for Spock.
Yeah, Search for Spock, where it opens up on like a Federation Council where there's like a Klingon talking about...
bad boys of the Federation.
Yeah, extraditing Captain Kirk for his assault on the Klingons, even though the Klingons attacked them first.
Yep.
And the doomsday device that is the Genesis missile they unleashed on the Genesis planet.
Right, he basically blew up a whole planet.
Yeah.
But then it comes
back to life. And they've acquired a Klingon, a vessel, and have been flying it around.
A bird of prey vessel.
Bird of prey. What do they call it? HMS.
The Bounty.
Bounty. Yeah.
Because in the previous one, they tricked the Klingons into going onto their ship.
Yeah.
And they beamed onto the Klingon ship.
And blew up the Enterprise.
Yeah. So that's where they no explanation of what happened in the third movie. They just pick it up right there.
I do want to point out before you go on. In retrospect, they should have just beamed a missile onto the other ship. But.
Yeah. Why not? Why didn't they do that? Why didn't everybody do that?
Yeah. I think probably what it was is they lowered their shields to, I don't know. The Klingons probably should have beamed a missile onto the Enterprise as soon as the Enterprise lowered their shields to invite them to attack, whatever. It opens up and Spock is, of course, back, but he's like not really himself. And he's like answering all these questions on a computer, and he's answering like four different questions at the same time.
He's taking the Vulcan test.
Yeah. he's like passing everything with flying colors. And then like goes like, there's like one question. It's like, how do you feel? And then he's like, I do not understand the question.
It says it like a million times. How do you feel? I remember that.
Yeah. And then his like human, was that his human mother that talks to him after that?
Yeah.
Like, blah, 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 blah.
T'Pau. Was her name T'Pau?
It wasn't, yeah. It was a pre-Winona Ryder.
Oh. So, but the premise of the movie that actually is happening right now is that there's like this probe flying towards Earth, and for some reason the signal it's sending off is electronically jamming anything it encounters and draining it of power. So there's all these like dead starships floating through the air.
It turns Earth into the set of Revolution, the horrible TV show in which all the power goes out.
Exactly. And
so basically they saw this happening and they're like, this show cannot happen, we have to do something about it.
And then the clay, like Spock, of course, figures out that it's a message not meant for anyone currently living on Earth, and it's like targeted towards the oceans. So they're like, run it through some distortions and tell us what it would sound like underwater. And like
it's whale song, Captain.
Whale song,
really good.
Humpback whales, specifically. Spock apparently had some sort of archive of different fish calls and
yeah, who doesn't?
Aquatic life on the computer of this like Klingon
internet.
Ship.
It's the future.
I mean, I've got
internet.
That on my cell phone. I can pull up what a well. I mean, do you think they couldn't in the future?
Yeah. But they're like, they're all extinct. So I don't know. I guess we have to go back in time. Like, it's the easiest thing in the world. Like,
yeah, they just slingshot.
Start the calculations.
Slingshot like, around the sun.
Spock's like, luckily I've memorized most of it.
Like, why didn't he do that when Spock died?
I don't know. Instead of blowing Spock up a whole planet. Spock was the one that had it all memorized.
Yeah. Or why didn't they just go back in time and then prevent the Enterprise from getting blown up?
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. But, they like tell Earth that they're going back in time before Earth loses all communication ability. And then there's like, when they're back in like 1990s, 82. San Francisco, 82.
Yeah.
I don't remember this movie. Cold War era.
Yeah, Cold War. And they got Chekhov.
Where are the nuclear vessels?
Yeah. Could nuclear you please vessels. Tell us where the nuclear vessels are?
Yeah, Chekhov and O'Hara go looking for nuclear.
Yeah, not the most like the most conspicuous search for nuclear vessels ever. They're searching for nuclear vessels because they're like, what is it?
Their power dilithium, reactor.
Dilithium crystals are all drained from the time
they
jump.
They need nuclear leakage or whatever.
Yeah, nuclear leakage. Of course, like, it happens in every time travel movie ever, right? You go back in time, and your time machine breaks, and you have to, like, find some new power source in the 1980s.
That's why they should have fueled it with trash.
You see the name of the aircraft carrier they steal it from?
It's Enterprise,
right?
They need to get the nuclear power, so they're looking for subs that use fission engines. And then they also need to find some whales, and they also have to build a housing thing.
It's a team building exercise. Yeah.
They split everybody up in teams.
Scotty Bones and
it's like the Amazing Race.
Like, it's funny.
Whatever.
It's just hilarious. They're like, oh, these people are still using money. We're gonna have to find some. Yeah. And he sells some like 18th century glasses that McCoy gave him, and he's like, I'll give you $100 for him. And he's like, is that a lot? And he's like, this is all there is, so don't splurge. He's like handing out 20s to all the crew members.
I like the translucent aluminum joke. Yeah. Like when they give the guy the recipe, like, how do we know he's not the one?
Yeah. So Scotty goes to this place called PlexiCorp and just gives him the formula for this like hyper futuristic material that they need for the tank,
which is topical because they just invented the transparent aluminum.
Are they really?
Yeah. They come up with a formula for it. Funny thing about that sequence, though, is that originally it was supposed to be on a Commodore computer. What was it called? The Amiga or whatever?
The Amiga 1000, yeah.
Yeah, but Commodore refused to let them use the computer unless they bought it. And Apple was like, you can just borrow one.
That's just like typical Commodore back then. Yeah. They're so dumb.
computer is going to be...
I think it's funny when Scotty's like talking into the mic. Yeah. He's like, computer.
Computer!
Oh. No, computer!
He sits down at the computer and he's just like, computer. Computer! Like waiting for the computer to respond.
Use the mouse.
And then McCoy hands him the mouse and he's like, oh, thank you. And then he's like holding it like it's a microphone. He's like, computer!
I like when he goes.
He's like, oh, a keyboard. How quaint, or something like that.
He cracks his knuckles. Yeah, yeah. Oh, James Doohan.
Yeah, and then meanwhile, Spock, to hide his alien heritage, is wearing a headband that hides his forehead and his ears, and that's like he's walking around in some big
and a
robe.
Terry cloth robe, looks like. Yeah,
yeah.
He's
in L.A.
He's not conspicuous in the 80s, so he looks at all. But he jumps into the tank with the whales, and he's like listening to them talking to them.
Finds out she's pregnant.
Yeah. And then I love the woman that kicks him out. She pulls up in like the most beat up sky blue Ford truck you've ever seen in your entire life.
Yeah, the whale's name was Gracie, I think, and she was
Gracie
pregnant.
Was the word, girl.
Yeah, of course, Spock has like the best scenes in the entire. Yeah.
Well, you know, Leonard Nimoy, that was the first Star Trek movie he directed.
Yeah,
he's like, so there's like a punk playing music on a bus, and they ask him a couple times to stop it, and he just turns it up, and so Spock just Vulcan pinches him, and then like the entire bus claps for him.
For you talking about Leonard Nimoy having the best scenes, originally like nobody wanted to come back and do a fourth one, and they finally got what's his name? It plays Kirk. Brain fart.
William Shatner?
Yeah. They finally got William Shatner because they offered him a substantial pay raise to come back. But they also gave him the pay raise on the incentive that he would entice everybody to come back, like talk him into it. And they would not do the movie without Spock. So naturally, Leonard Nimoy gets to direct the movie and be in it. So.
I think that was a good choice. This is my favorite one.
Yeah, and then what else is he always, you know, just he has all the Spock lines where someone uses a colloquialism and he questions it for like some stupid reason. And he's trying to curse because like Captain Kirk tells him in this time period, people just curse all the time or people don't listen to you. And so I can't remember what he says, but he's like, hell yeah, I did. Yeah. It's like sounds so awkward coming out of. Or like the woman goes like, are you sure you won't change your mind? And he's like, why? What's wrong with the one I have? So I didn't watch the end of it, but if I remember correctly, they end up getting the nuclear fission and getting the whales and putting them in a glass containment and take it to the future and put the whales in the ocean, and it answers the probe, and the probe just goes away after that.
Yeah.
I'd like to point out that I'm pretty sure they used the phrase change your mind like at least a dozen times in the original series and other Star Trek movies. So.
And he was, well, this is new Spock. He's like quite up to his usual mental facilities. Like he's calling Kirk Admiral all the time.
Yeah, at the end he gets demoted to captain again. That's his one. That's the one sanction, like instead of them all being exiled. But, one of the funniest parts that me and my dad like is when Chekhov gets hurt trying to escape the aircraft carrier. He's in the hospital and they put the little halo on him and it brings him back and everything. But the old lady in the thing, she's like in the hallway, and they give her a pill and she grows a new kidney. And it's just funny that she's just cracking up.
Doctor gave me a new pill and grew a new kidney.
Yeah. He's like, oh, he's like medicine. This time is so savage, and like he just gives him one little pill and it saves her life.
Did you guys know that it was the first, so there never been, I guess, like during the 80s and stuff, obviously with the Cold War, there was a big lockout on American media in Russia. So they'd never seen Star Trek. But the Star Trek 4 was the first movie that had ever, Star Trek movie to ever premiere in Russia. So it premiered in Russia, and they fucking loved it, went crazy. They released the rest of the Star Trek movies. They hated it because they thought Star Trek was supposed to be a comedy based on Star Trek 4. And evidently, to this day, it is like revered as a great American film. Those Russians love Star Trek 4.
The year is 1986, by the way.
86,
I really like this movie too. I think it might be one of my favorite Star Trek movies as well. But the reason I like it is because I think they just got the idea from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Because there's a section called Thanks for All the Fish where, right before the planet Earth is destroyed, it turns out dolphins are an alien species.
They knew what was going on.
And so they're like, well, we better bail out. And they all jump back in their spacecrafts and leave Earth. And they just leave one message behind, like one that says, thanks for all the fish. So I mean, as soon as I saw that, like that movie, I'm like, this is just like
it makes a lot of sense. I think like Hitchhiker's Guide was like the cool like science fiction.
Yeah,
at the time,
I mean that's so. Like, and it's much older.
The movie's original plot was supposed to involve a disease that was wiping out mankind, and they had to go back to the rainforest in South America because there was like a plant or whatever that held the cure. And once Leonard Nimoy started directing the movie, he changed it to Wells because he thought that it was too dark. And that movie could have been pretty good. I feel like disease ravaging mankind.
It'd be like Star Trek mixed with Medicine Man with Sean Connery.
Yeah, but then you'd have to like see a bunch of fucked up people in a Star Trek. Yeah, I could see
it. It wouldn't have been that big in Russia.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be the comedy that is Star Trek for
the Nuclear Wessels.
Do you like Anton Yelchin playing Chekhov on the new ones? Do you like him?
Yeah, I think he's probably one of the better parts of the new ones.
I like the new ones a lot. I don't have anything bad to say about them.
Me either. Are they doing a third one? I guess they are.
I think J.J. Abrams is only directing the first Star Wars, and I think he's going back to Star Trek.
I think the alternate universe shit is kind of corny in the new ones. I don't think they needed that.
They rebooted it like an excuse.
Yeah, it should have just been rebooted. They shouldn't have brought Spock in.
Yeah, I understand they were worried about pissing off traditional Trekkies, but like those people weren't going to like it anyway. They still don't like it.
I'm old Spock.
Do you think they'll Paul Walker Spock into the third one? Where they do like the CGI on like the other actor?
No.
That was Zachary Quinto.
No,
Spock, right?
Leonard Nimoy died, but he's been in the
first two.
First two.
Yeah, Leonard Nimoy.
As old Leonard Nimoy.
Oh, right. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Spock. Yeah, Zachary Quinto's not dead. I know that, but...
I thought you were trying to say Paul Walker played Spock.
No.
I could watch that movie. Like, too fast, too furious.
And the most recent Furious 7.
Enterprise.
There's like
Vulcan 20%
Drift. Of it where it's Paul Walker is CGI'd onto like one of his brother's faces. Like even though like there was a body double for all of Paul Walker's, like some of his parts in the new movie.
Oh, weird. That's kind of strange.
Who gets paid for that?
The Walker family fortune, I suppose.
The Walker Foundation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, did you ever get to the end of it?
I mean, I've seen the whole movie before, but this was 10 years ago.
They bring the whales back. Everything's good.
Yeah.
Does the Jillian, or I think her name's Jillian, does she stay in the future with them? I know she goes back with them.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, she goes back and she decides to be like the leading expert on whales at the time.
For the two they got.
Just the two they got, right? So...
Did you know that the 4-foot replicas of the whales used in that movie were so realistic that animal rights activists condemned the movie for filming whales too close in the wild and fucking with their habitat?
Really?
Nope.
Wow. They were dumb back then.
Yeah. We just went whaling and used a whale carcass. Stuffed it with animatronics.
What was the conflict at the end of the movie? I don't remember. They were like running away from something.
No, their ship lost power. You mean
at the very end?
At the very end, the bird of prey comes down right in front of the whaling ship as it's about to harpoon Gracie.
That's right.
So the harpoon like glances off of the bird of prey, and the ship becomes like visual. And so the whaling ship freaks out, and they pick up the whales. And
then when they come back and save the world, instead. They drop all the charges that were except for one, which was like disregarding like the orders from your superior, and they demote Kirk to captain from admiral,
right?
And give him a new Enterprise. So it was kind of like the old bro, like hey, we're demoting you. Here's a new ship. Go be Captain Kirk. Undiscovered country. That was a good one.
Yeah,
was it?
That's the one where it like starts out and like Kirk and Bones are arrested, right?
Isn't that the Final Frontier?
Yeah. Well, no. Which one's Undiscovered Country?
Isn't that the one where they meet God?
Let me hit the internet.
I don't know if I've seen any of them past four.
Like,
at least not the start original series.
Because you have Final Frontier, Generations, Undiscovered Country. There's
Generations is the first Star Trek Next Generation.
So yeah. So that
what is the which one is when they go back? Is it a Kirk movie when they go back in time?
First Contact with Picard when
that's
he goes
Picard
back in time
one?
To Richard Cromwell doing the first when he contacts
Vulcans
for the first time.
Well, Undiscovered Country is number 6.
That means
so Final Frontier is 5. Yeah.
On the eve of their retirement, Kirk and McCoy are charged with assassinating the Klingon High Chancellor, and they're imprisoned imprisoned on a Klingon prison planet.
Yeah, that movie is fucking terrible.
It's awesome.
That's my least favorite Star Trek, I think, besides the first one.
It's like some like prison breakout movie. And they're like, all right, Kirk, McCoy, we're going to have to fight a guy in the prison yard to make him our bitch so he doesn't rape us in our sleep.
Actually, he ends up having to fuck a shapeshifter.
Yes.
Yeah, Kirk. Oh.
He was nominated for 2 Oscars.
Sorry. News.
When we were watching Avengers 2 and the Pixels trailer came on, you guys finally had to watch it. The one with Adam Sandler with the video game.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was talking to Andy. I'm guessing it wins at least 5 Razzies.
Is that not out yet?
No. God, that's the first time I saw a trailer for it. And yeah. It was just like, what the fuck is this shit?
I've been trying to get you guys to watch it, and finally you had to.
I watched it with my brother and his wife, and they were like, at first they were like, what the heck? And then it does the scene where Adam Sandler's in his car, and he's like, Pac-Man's a bad guy? And they're like, oh, it's an Adam Sandler movie. It all makes sense now.
I think the coolest part about it was Dinklage with the Fu Manchu and the mullet. That was pretty cute, like when he was doing his shit in the car.
Yeah, they associate Adam Sandler with the worst movies in recent history.
Oh. Yeah.
The Cobbler was really good, though. That's no joke.
See a bunch of Native Americans walked out of his most recent movie because, like his
they go to like what how many Native Americans first can afford to go see a movie in the theater?
No, they were in they're in the movie. They were
the
in,
actors.
Oh,
actors.
That makes more sense.
The actors in the movie.
There's not a lot of them, so when there's a movie that needs Native Americans.
I don't remember the name of the movie. It's an old West
called The Sinister Six.
Uh-huh.
Which is about 6 guys that band together to fight off some Indian stuff. It's an old Western movie. This one's called The Something Seven. Yeah. And it's a comedic take on that.
The Magnificent
Seven?
And
apparently all the Native Americans walked off set because in the script they were all given names like Wears No Bra and Smells Like Beaver or something like that. And it was all sexual innuendo Indian names. And apparently the little Indian
Chief.
I don't know if it was a chief or whatever.
Shaman.
It was more like the liaison Indian from
the chief.
Indian guy, got fed up with the script and they all walked off. I don't know if they've gone back on or yet or not, but I was just, it was based on mainly because of Indian stereotypes and the comedic sexual innuendos of Indian names.
Yeah.
And it was, I thought it was pretty funny.
Fuck Native Americans.
It's stupid.
I said
it's stupid.
I actually have I actually went to an Indian reservation, had a really horrible experience once. Where I was ran off of their reservation, and it took me 250 miles out of my fucking way. I was in L.A., and we were going to go to Tijuana for the day, donkey shows, tequila. It was going to be great. So, I pull up Google Maps. This was, in 2004, so it was kind of different. We didn't have it on our phone. We had to put it in the computer.
Yeah.
And Google Maps told us to go this way, and it goes straight through the Los Coyotes Indian Reservation. And so, we didn't know that evidently you can't drive through an Indian reservation. I don't know why not. It's the same fucking road.
Yeah.
So, we get in about, a mile inside. All of a sudden, 6 black SUVs, roll up behind us and, lights flip on. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? So they roll down the window and they're like, you have to leave right now. But they didn't sound like Indians. They just sound like normal people, but it's better for the story. They're like, what the man, the master Lee. But no, they're like, you have to leave.
Are they Japanese?
It's, Japanese Indians. They were building the railroads intermingled with the Los Coyotes. Long story. But anyway, I just need to go one more mile in this reservation to connect to Interstate 5 that went the rest of the way. I'm like, I am just 1 mile. They're like, no, you have to go 2 miles back and then go all the way around. And I'm like, you do not understand. Why can't I just not go to that side? And they insisted on escorting us out. Huge assholes. They're like, we will arrest you, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what? It's like, can you even do that? I don't know. I didn't know what the laws were there, but yeah, I felt like
they can arrest you and transfer you to local authorities outside of the reservation.
Yeah, the Indian reservations are sovereign nations. Anyway,
so we left and went to the first gas station, and I was talking to a lady trying to get the direction. She's like, yeah, they grow shit tons of weed on the reservation. And this was 2004, I guess, when,
it was less legal than it is now.
Yeah. And they're like, so everybody that goes on there, they just assume, because I guess it's illegal under federal law, so and they still have to adhere to some federal laws, so they can't grow shit tons of weed on the reservation legally. I don't know, but they're like, everybody that goes on the reservation, they just assume is a federal investigator, so they just kick everybody off. But anyway, fuck Los Coyotes. I didn't care if they were growing weed, man. just wanted to get to Tijuana. It took me 3 more hours. That was 3 hours that I didn't get to enjoy Tijuana. And that's, you don't want to stay in Tijuana after, like, once it gets dark, you immediately have to leave. And, you know, so that was kind of really fucking short.
Nice.
Yeah.
What kind of news we got? Anything good?
Sure, we were getting, I thought the podcast was over.
There's not a lot.
There's not a lot. There's a bunch of PT news. Fans are petitioning to save Silent Hill.
Oh, yeah.
I love that news article. Someone's selling a PlayStation 4 with PT installed on it for $1,800 on eBay.
Right, because this week Konami pulled PT off of the PlayStation store, PSN.
Yeah, they announced they were canceling it.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's crazy. So,
did you end up downloading that, Matt?
I downloaded it. Like, it was one of the first things I downloaded because free.
You got you still got it?
Yeah.
You going to sell that PS4 for about $1,500?
I mean, until I hear of one actually selling, they're just listed right now.
Yeah, so. I don't think anyone's going to buy it for that much, but it's just hilarious.
You should just list yours at a reserve price of $1,000. That way, when you sell it, you can buy a PS4 and an Xbox One and be set to go.
Yeah. I might do that if, like, they end up actually selling for that much, but I hate selling shit on eBay. It's such a pain in the ass.
It is such a pain in the ass.
I would rather deal with, like, the creepy pedophile that shows up to buy my, you know, DVD collection rather than pay the eBay cost and shit.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Fucking PayPal.
I would deal
costs.
With a meth head any day of the week than fucking eBay.
PayPal's are and the PayPal. Biggest crack dealer in the world.
Yeah. I used to sell shit on eBay all the time. I can't stand it.
Yeah.
PlayStation 4 games out this month are all fucking terrible.
Well, yeah, it's PlayStation 4.
Same way with
4.
The gold, games with the gold one for Xbox.
I heard Castle Whatever is really fun.
Yeah, what is
Castle
it?
Castle Storm.
Yeah, Castle Storm's it's Xbox One.
This is a free game for Xbox One.
I've heard
it's 2D down defense. It's really fun.
I've heard really good
things. The free game
about
for Xbox 360 was Mafia 2. I don't even think I downloaded
it's crap.
It's just going to...
It's almost as bad as Godfather 2.
Yeah. Which is, like, really disappointing since, like, earlier they just did like Assassin's Creed 4 and Gears of War Judgment, so I haven't played those yet because I've been on a Destiny burner, but I'll probably go get around to them at some point if I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, definitely
Mafia Gears of War Judgment.
What really pisses me off is Hokum is one of them, and my daughter begged me to buy her that last month. It was like $12. Hokum.
Oh, is that that game where you played the dog and the Eskimo or whatever?
No, you just play these like racist weird thing. Light things, and you go around
I
these
just
weird
remember
worlds.
Him
Hokum must be.
Oh, you're talking about Never Alone? No, that was last month. Yeah, we'd already
I'm
bought that.
I'm trying to
too.
Recount every game that I've heard him talk about.
I mean, Hokum must be some kind of Native American somewhere.
I said Eskimo.
Dude, what do you think an Eskimo is? Do you not think they're native to America? Jesus, Eskimo is the racial slur, Danny.
Inuit
Christ.
PC term.
You never
call somebody an Eskimo.
I mean, Never Alone was actually good. Like, we bought that like the month before it went out on PSN.
Until the fox gets killed.
Yeah, until the fox gets his neck snapped. Sorry, Never Alone spoilers again.
You're like, oh, shit.
But, horrible games.
Should have pre-run this game before playing with my daughter. That's just, like, one of those, like, childhood-destroying moments.
Yeah, like, I looked at her.
It's
going to,
like, live for her for the rest of her life. Like, she's not going to... it's going to be, like, 10 years from now. She's not going to remember it. But every time she sees a fox, she's just going to get immensely sad for some reason. And he's like, oh.
Yeah, I looked over at her right after it happened. I was like, oh, I just mentally scarred you. I'm so sorry. That's horrible.
I had a proud daddy-daughter moment the other day when Charlie asked me if we could buy... it's the first time she's ever, like I don't know how to explain it. She never really asked to buy anything. Like, we go to a toy store or something, and then we have that discussion before we go in, like, either yes, you're getting something, or no, you're not. And if we tell her no, she's not, she won't ask for it, even though she'll kind of, like, hint towards and stuff. And the other day, we stopped at the game store so she could play, and she sees the big old banner for Lego Jurassic World or whatever. She's like, Daddy, she's like, I don't know if it's out yet, but I would really like that to get that game. And I was like, okay, we'll see when it comes out. And of course, it comes out like 2 days before her birthday. So I was like, okay. I was like,
that's great. That's a good birthday
for them. Yeah.
I said, okay. I was like, we'll get it, but it doesn't come out to your birthday. Is that okay? She's like, okay. She's like, I'm learning to be really patient. So
that's nice.
I was really happy. Like,
she must have had her nap.
Because, like, I'm not going to name any names, but I have friends who have kids that, like, if we're ever out in public anywhere, they're like, can I have this? Can I have that? You kind of just want to give them the choke. Like, little Vulcan death grip style.
Yeah.
It.
So, or just keep going.
Oh, no, I'm done.
All right. Back to the news again. I also love, it's not really news, but Matt, I assume just for me, posted an entire article that GameSpot has about why consoles are not backwards compatible.
I saw that.
So, because this was like a hot button topic for us like a week or two ago, and like we even had someone email in and explain to me why consoles aren't backwards compatible. And I like this article's explanation so much better. It's not that it's impossible to make consoles backwards compatible. It's just too hard or costs too much money. So that is like, well, thank you. Now I know that it's not that it's a problem that's unsolvable. It's just that you guys wouldn't put the time into it.
I don't think anyone's ever said it was impossible.
Danny's main argument was, well, it should be.
Yeah. I mean, if it was possible to do something, I wish I would have offered it. Like, just make an Xbox 360 that's not backwards compatible, or Xbox One, and then make an Xbox One that is backwards compatible for like $50 to $100 more or something.
Give me the choice.
I think it would probably be way more than $50 to $100 because they would probably, the way it sounded, they'd have to have like 10 times the chips in it or whatever. Whatever. So.
Then they should stop doing whatever they're doing. Like,
I'll go back to low polygon counts. Yeah. And
I mean, I've had a computer forever. I can put a CD-ROM in my drive that's 20 years old and it works. And I can put a CD-ROM in my drive that's 1 month old and it works.
I'd say moving forward, like, it should be easier to have backwards compatibility, like, with the next system, because like the whole like theory of diminishing returns just is sort of like canceled out now. Like, because you've seen where it's like, oh, this has like 10 polygons, this has 100, and it's like revolutionary. This has 1,000, still revolutionary. All of a sudden, like from 1,000 to 2,000, like hardly a noticeable difference. Like, it just...
They say the exact opposite in the...
Do they,
like,
really?
Yeah, it's actually...
I predict that they will never make backwards compatible consoles again because they realize it costs them money and they don't make any money off of it. Like, that's the only problem.
Like, I'd say we're like, say 10 is the end all be all of how good graphics can be in video games. I think we're at like an 8 right now. Like, we don't have much more to go before it becomes to like real life.
People have been saying that for decades.
But I don't know.
I don't think people have really been saying it for decades. I feel like we have a lot of place to go.
You guys just don't realize it until you see it.
I don't think anyone has watched, anyone when back in the day was playing Contra and going, these are the most realistic. It's like I'm watching a movie.
Yes, they were.
No.
They were.
I mean, I was playing Sonic.
I was probably one of those people.
I was playing Sonic and going like, it looks good, but it's not realistic at all. I have never thought video game art looked like real
life. I remember playing Doom for the first time being like, what?
Yeah.
Doom, I never, like, I get all.
I noticed.
A decade and a half, maybe.
Just playing Destiny on Xbox One versus, like, playing a game on 360, I noticed a huge thing. You got, like, fucking tarps blowing in the wind and shit and condensation, like, individual. Like, we've got a long way to go still graphically, I believe.
Yeah.
To where it is real life.
They're just starting to get hair right, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway.
It's like a super long article, so I did not read.
I didn't read it all either. I just skipped to the part where they explain why.
I scrolled all the way down to the bottom where it talks about how do you make something backwards compatible? And it's like, blah, 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 totally possible. We'll cost extra money. We're not going to do it. Case closed.
Yeah. Yeah, they made a good point. So Microsoft came out this week and said that they bought Minecraft in part because of their work with the HoloLens that they've been doing.
HoloLens,
and they thought it would be like the perfect thing for HoloLens.
I could see that.
I guess. I don't know. Like, I don't get it. Like, you're going to chip away at your wall, right? And like chip out the blocks in your wall. And then what happens when you chip away the blocks in your wall?
My guess is it's going to be another version of Minecraft that maybe is like preloaded with materials and it's going to be a building
I don't
game.
Think it's
rebuild
like,
things with the blocks. It's going
to
be like virtual
walk
Legos.
Around and chip away at reality. Yeah. From the like screenshot they showed, it looked like you could just kind of project a Minecraft world on your coffee table and like maybe pick up the blocks.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like virtual Legos.
A house like that. Like virtual Legos, exactly.
Okay, I guess I could see that. That doesn't sound like as much fun as the original one at Minecraft, but that could be cool. don't know.
I'm seeing it as like, all right, see my coffee this table. It becomes a virtual Lego set. I'm picking up blocks and making stuff. And then when I make that stuff with my hands, I take that blueprint into Minecraft, into the game, and other people can use that in their, you know what I mean?
That could be really cool.
Yeah, because there's some stuff like, I play around a little bit with Minecraft, and honestly, like building with like the mouse and stuff wasn't that fun. But if I could like tangible, like build things with my hands and then load them into the game, could be cool.
Building giant structures in Minecraft on survival mode is a pain in the ass because you have to like dig all these pits of water to jump in, like when you get to the very top. So being able to build it outside with your hands would be way easier, take way less time. Dragon Age Inquisition DLC is finally coming out for PS4.
Oh really? Because it's been out for Xbox One for a long time.
Yeah. Bite me. Sure wish I had someone to play Destiny with.
Sounds like lots of fun. Dude, we have so much fun.
I know. It sounds like tons of fun.
You just pick up Xbox One.
It's coming out on May 26th.
So. Witcher 3 still slated for this month?
Yeah, unfortunately, it comes out on the same day that House of Wolves. So I think I'm actually going to House of Wolves because I'm enjoying Destiny that much.
Damn.
The thing about Witcher is, I don't know if you noticed this with like RPGs that don't have any multiplayer, is after about 6 months of them being out, they are drastically discounted.
Yeah, like $20 or $30.
So instead of playing $60, I might just wait for the Game of the Year edition of Witcher 3 with all the DLC and shit packed in.
While House of Wolves will be $20 from here until
eternity.
Somewhat related to Witcher 3, there's this adults only game called Hatred that's coming out on Steam.
Hatred. Isn't that the one that had the huge controversy over?
Yeah, it was on Steam graphic. Greenlight. Yeah, and if you watch the trailer, it's pretty fucked up.
What's the game about?
It's like, it's pretty much like Columbine, the game, where you can like just run through the streets and massacre murder people, and they'll beg for your mercy. And like, the more fucked up you are, the better you do in the game, I guess.
I am a benevolent god.
Yeah, it's all dark and emo and shit. But it's a pretty fucked up game. Like if you watch the trailer, you can see why it's AO.
So you won't be buying it for Cordelia?
No.
Have you come to that yet? Is there a game that you won't let her play? Like, if she asked to play a game and you're like, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I wouldn't let her play Wolfenstein. Just because it was, I don't know, it was too real and like too kind of fucked up. And
so what makes Resident Evil playable?
I don't like when humans do fucked up shit to other humans.
Okay.
Like, when the majority of the humans are doing
if you're killing monsters, I understand. So like killing monsters is fine, but like shooting another human being. Okay.
Yeah. RE4 is like a giant kind of like bloody cartoon. So I'm kind of okay with it. Like, and it's not that bloody.
Are there shows you don't like her watching?
Yeah. I don't let her watch like adult shows at all.
Like Real Sex or Richard Diaries with David Duchovny.
Yeah. Or like Breaking Bad or like anything like that.
Yeah, Game of Thrones.
I don't even let her watch like sitcoms sometimes, just because they're
bad.
Yeah, I wouldn't let her watch Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Oh yeah.
I can understand. Charlie doesn't watch too much Cartoon Network at night.
Right.
And for some reason, she shows absolute zero interest in anything live action. So she hasn't. She has three bad shows that. Two of them are bad. It's Family Guy and South Park that she likes to sneak and watch sometimes because they're funny and they have funny jokes, is what she says. And then the other one that I don't want her to watch just because it really messes with her psyche is Courage the Cowardly Dog.
That show's supposed to be fucked up.
It is fucked up. I watched on Netflix with her before and stuff, and like she gets like scared by some of the stuff she sees in there. And like a couple times she's like didn't want to lay in her bedroom at night with the lights off because something happened on Courage.
There's an episode that's straight up about a pedophile.
Yeah.
Like pretty much. Like,
so that's
Courage is the only one who knows that he's a pedophile. Nobody in the family will believe him.
Well, that's every episode.
I think this is like, it would be me and Allie have children. This is going to be a point of interest for her because I believe in zero censorship because I wasn't censored at all. Yeah. Like, I remember, like, I've talked about it before. I remember missing, like, the third grade because my mom let me skip to take me to see Terminator 2 in the theater. Like, I grew up with watching aliens, violence, blah, 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 and I have no interest in it because I see it as fantasy.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that whole mindset, but. I mean, if she makes the case that she wants to see something and she really wants to see it, I'll watch it with her. But, I'll explain.
Yeah.
I'll have you know, conversations with her about
it. Yeah, my parents are very good about that. They watch that stuff.
But if she freaks out like while she's watching it and like has nightmares at night, I'm not going to let her watch it. Because
when I was a kid, there was like three or four shows my mom wouldn't let me watch. I can't remember all of them. There was definitely Ren and Stimpy.
I love Ren and Stimpy.
Rocko's Modern Life.
Really? Rocko?
Beavis and Butthead. And I can't
why
remember.
Why did Rocko?
I don't know. She thought it was just as disgusting as
I mean, it is a Ren sex film. Rocko's Modern Life was
it
great.
It was like yeah, he's like people getting like smashed up and stuff like that. There's an episode of Rocko's Modern Life where he works as a sex phone operator for like 5 minutes.
I think I remember that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was like somewhat adult themed. And it just showed like graphically disturbing images at certain points. But I loved those shows and I always sneak watch them. I would, I got in huge trouble once because my brother was afraid of, Alone in the Dark. Are you alone?
Are you afraid of the dark?
Are you afraid of the dark? My brother could not stand that show, and I always watched it. And so, whenever like Ren and Stimpy or Rocko's Modern Life was coming on, I wanted to watch it. I would tell my mom that Are You Afraid of the Dark is about to come on, and she would take Joe upstairs and play with him while I watched it. And but like she like caught me one time, and she was like furious at me.
Yeah. I got suspended from the fifth grade for bringing a Beavis and Butthead comic book to school.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, my parents like what?
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Well, it was right when like it was when Beavis and Butthead first came out.
The fire,
yeah,
fire
so like thing, pyromancer or whatever.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
Yeah, but you know, and Butthead was a swear word. Evidently, it's like whatever. This comic's hilarious.
I don't remember being censored at all as a kid.
I got pissed because they took it away. I never got it back. The school took it.
They never gave it.
Beavis and Butthead issue claim. Number one, man.
Probably worth something now. Yeah. I bet whoever took it sold it at some point and made some money off of it.
Some janitor or some principal found it years later, like, oh, selling it.
So there's going to be a PC-focused press conference for the first time in E3 history. Well, not in history, but in a long time. It used to be only PC stuff, if you go back far enough. I don't know. That'll be interesting.
There's still a lot of articles about how... they got rid of the Steam mods for being on, like the Skyrim mods being on sale.
I will give Valve props for realizing, for listening to everybody say how bad an idea it was and then dropping it.
That was the quickest turnaround of any idea.
It was really was. It was like, yeah, I don't even know if it was live for 24 hours, was it?
It was live for like 2 days.
Oh, 2 days.
Yeah, because it happened on like a Thursday and it got taken down, I think, like on a Monday because Gabe was on like a business trip and he got back on Sunday night and did that 8 hour long AMA on Reddit. Yeah.
That's the only longest AMA I've ever seen in my life, too.
Oh, he was downloading the shit, too. He tried to defend it. He tried, but they were not having it, which I agree with.
I still love the $100 Gabe Newell's balls.
You can put his balls on horses.
So they announced the finalists for the Video Game Hall of Fame. It doesn't...
Who's in there?
Minecraft, Doom, The Sims, and Pokemon.
Fuck Minecraft.
Fuck Pokemon.
I think Pokemon deserve. I don't know. What's the Hall of Fame? I don't know what's going. What is this?
It's this. There's a
can't
video
they all
game
four
hall
be in the Hall of Fame. It's a hall.
We did a bunch of stories when they were building it. I think it's in New York.
Oh, New York.
Yeah, they might do what they might podcast. Do what like the NLB does. Is they like pick one thing to put in the Hall of Fame every year. Yeah.
Four nominees.
I think those are all important. I think Doom obviously is important because it brought about the adult gaming industry. I think and kind of took it away from. Like it took it from the family console to a very adult center costume. And I think Pokemon on the flip side really for the first time developed gaming for kids as not just a family, like you and your dad are not going to sit down and play Pokemon, but it's something for kids, you know.
It was the first real good handheld actual game. I think it made handheld gaming an actual thing.
Yeah. And I think with that, like Pokemon, you wouldn't have like some cell phone gaming that you have and stuff. It's definitely that collectability, the monetizing children's games.
The Sims was a good segue into girlfriends playing video games with their nerd boyfriends. So
there's other games too. Angry Birds.
Oh my God.
FIFA. No. Legend of Zelda. Oregon Trail, Pac-Man, Pong.
I played
Sonic.
so much Oregon Trail in computer class in grade school.
Yeah.
I loved computer class because it was literally just like 40 minutes where we got to play computer games. Yeah. There was like almost no educational value to computer class when I took it at all.
We didn't have computer class until I got to high school and it was typing.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I was too.
I could have taken typing in high school, but I didn't. But we played like, I mean, there was some educational value because we'd play like what Number Muncher and stuff like that. But
since you guys have daughters, do they have computer class now, or do they just assume that everybody has computers?
They have computers in my daughter's preschool. So.
Yeah, one day a week, Charlie has like a computer class that's an hour long.
What do they do? Just teach them how to type and stuff, or
they play word and number games?
Yeah, it's mainly like little games that they play.
Oh, that's cool.
Like Word Zombies, whatever that one game is.
Typing of the Dead.
Yeah.
No. I'm trying to think. I don't know if we've recorded since, but my daughter had like an art show at Notre Dame Academy a while back. And I went there and like it was the weirdest thing I'd ever seen. It was they have a music teacher come into her school once a week every Friday named like Mr. David. He's a really awesome guy, but he's sort of got like he's sort of got like a carrot top build with the muscles with like a Richard Simmons hairdo. So he's a pretty comical looking guy. And I just give him kudos because I got to watch 40 kids do different songs up on a stage. And there's some of them like that would just like run around. And then like right afterwards, like one of them like leaves the stage and sits down next to his mom and just starts playing Minecraft on a tablet. Like I was like, man, that kid's pretty dedicated. But
that's awesome. Yeah, real quick, the other ones are Space Invaders, Super Mario Brothers, Tetris, and World of Warcraft.
God, that's a lot of freaking nominees.
I like
it. Yeah, it is a lot of nominees.
I think they all have a place there. I can see it.
Yeah.
Even FIFA. FIFA is the international man's video game. Yeah. Especially, I don't know, like when I lived in New Zealand, it was people playing the fuck out of FIFA. Man, you go to a party and people were playing FIFA.
Yeah.
Yeah, soccer game was the last game ever released on PS2. It was like PES 2014 or something like that.
Yeah. So I guess those are the ones that are going to go in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, they all going to go in the Hall of Fame?
Well, it's a hall. Yeah, okay. It's not an award for best game ever.
I just thought
like finalist
like
means
I said,
that
I thought
you,
they were going to be one at a time or something like that.
It uses the word finalist, and that means
they got in.
They got in, right? Okay.
What are some games that didn't? We could talk about that.
There's a. Let me see.
Did Mario Brothers not get in? I can see that as a big sore thumb. I feel like that.
For Allie, especially.
No, Mario Brothers was one of the ones that went in.
Okay. Which one?
Super Mario Brothers, the first one.
It should have been 3.
3, yep.
Yeah.
That's 3 is such a definitive game for everybody. Like,
I don't like 3.
Really?
Yeah, I like 2 better than 3.
You can turn into a raccoon in 3.
Yeah, that's pretty
cool. There's a world where everybody's giant, Matt. That blew my mind when I was a kid. Giant World, World 4.
4-1.
Fuck World 3, the water world. Ugh. Hated that world.
Egyptian world
was sweet, though.
I liked 1 and 2. Regular and
Sam. I figured out how to get the flutes in World 1 and 2, and then I always just skipped like right to like 8 after that.
I could beat like the first 3 levels on 8, but besides that, it was a horrible grind.
So you guys are playing Marvel Puzzle Quest, but I don't know if you've seen the new Marvel game. Have you guys played it?
Oh, I meant to get the name of that again from you because
it is fucking awesome. It's called Marvel Future Fight, and it's an actual game, guys. It's like Diablo. So you control a team of 3, and you can switch them out. It's like Diablo. You move and you attack, and it's a free game. And you know, as you progress, you unlock different guys and whatever. I mean, it's definitely you can do buy guys or whatever, but it's an actual game that you play. It's a lot of fun.
Can I port my characters from Marvel Puzzle Quest into it? I'm not interested. Yeah.
But I stopped playing Record Keeper because this game came out, and I'm like, oh shit, you can actually play this game.
What's it called? Marvel
Future Fight?
Yeah, Marvel. Okay.
It's a lot of fun.
Let's check that out. I need to get a new phone. Then I can start playing other games.
we're about to go on a new family plan in June, and I might get the iPhone 6, which I've been Android for a long time, but I don't know. I'm thinking about it.
I've recently started downloading the free app games on Windows 8 on my laptop since it's a touchscreen like folding tablet. They're pretty fun. Playing a lot of Gravity Guy 2 and some Jetpack Joyride and some Temple Run. Those are always classics.
Jetpack Joyride. And any of you guys watch the new Mad Max Fury Road trailer?
Oh, I've seen all of the trailers.
I don't know if it.
I want it to be good more than anything. I love Mad Max, Road Warrior, Thunderdome, but I think it looks like it's going to be the worst movie ever.
Really? I think it looks really good.
The action and set pieces look great, but the story, from what I can tell, sounds so horrible and stupid.
I mean, the story's never that great in the other ones anyway.
No, I thought Road Warrior was... I saw a rig that could haul that tanker. Yeah. Like, that was a great fucking movie,
Just
Road Warrior.
Walk away. You can leave all of this.
Yeah.
Fucking Thunderdome, man. Master Blaster. Like, it was, but this Master just, Blaster. Like, Charlize Theron seems, like, shoehorned in as, like, well, okay, we got to do, we got to have a love interest.
I mean,
we
you could have said the same thing about Grace Jones in the second one.
Sure, Grace Jones, definitely. I'll give you that. But, I don't know.
Hopefully she won't be a huge part of it. But, yeah, you're right. Charlize Theron with the bionic arm. The arm looks kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, I want it to be good. I have nothing but complete and utter love for the series. But I see it, and I'm like...
I have more hope for it than I have for Star Wars 7, I think, honestly.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, Star Wars 7 exists in its world without bending any of the rules of the world, whereas a PG-13 Mad Max movie...
Is it PG-13? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's so fucking PG-13.
Oh, God.
That in itself, like, twists it from its original incarnation for me.
Yeah.
So, we'll see.
But were none of the other ones for PG-13?
Maybe. Thunderdome might have been. I don't know.
There's no way. Back in the day, because R was, like, more socially accepted than it is nowadays, but...
Oh, it's still socially accepted. They just at one point figured out that they make more money because they have a wider audience that's allowed to buy tickets.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, I mean, we'll see. I want it to be good. I will go see it, and I hope that it's good.
Mad Max, it's getting an R rating.
Is it really?
Yeah, according to this. In the test screening, they test screened a PG-13 version.
Well, maybe it'll be good then.
But, yeah, the MPAA gave it an R rating.
Oh, well, that's good. I remember when it was coming out, it was a big thing of people, like, as the director, I thought, said that they would it would end up PG-13.
Well, that was as of March 19th. When did you hear?
Just when it was being shot, like, last over the past 2 years.
If you guys
just like
watch
the same thing they did to RoboCop, where RoboCop ended up being PG-13.
Die Hard, I guess.
Oh, right, yeah.
If you want to watch a movie that hits you right in the feels, I watched Hector in the Pursuit of Happiness with Simon Pegg. It was a good one.
Oh, yeah, I've been wanting to watch that.
Yeah, it was really good. And I want to see his new one coming out called, was it Absolutely Anything? It's Robin Williams' last movie where...
That was Saddest Man or Angriest Man in New York or something.
No, it might have changed the title. I think right now it's called like Absolutely Anything. And it's the premise is there's four alien races that run like the universe. And they're all having a meeting up in space. And they're all voiced by the Monty Python guys.
And yeah, I saw this trailer. That looks good.
You see it? Yeah. And they're going to give supreme power to one Earthling. If he does good with the power, then Earth can stay a planet. If not, they're going to demolish it and move on to a new planet. And Simon Pegg is the guy that gets picked. So it looks pretty good.
Did you ever go see We Live in the Shadows?
I've never seen it.
I have it. I downloaded it. It's What We Do in Shadows.
What would we do? Yeah, What We Do in the Shadows.
It is fucking hilarious.
I heard it's really good.
Yeah, I've been really wanting to see that.
Yeah, download it. It's great.
I think I might go see that before I go see Avengers.
It's not going to be American release in theater, so
it's at the Esquire right now.
Oh, is it?
Is it really? Okay.
Yeah. Well, they sometimes get.
If you go, text me because I've been wanting to see it.
Okay. It's hilarious. Yeah, I mean, if you guys go, I'll go. Yeah. I'll see it. Watch it again.
At least I'm positive it was there like a week ago. They don't keep movies long there.
I've watched it twice in like 3 weeks. That's how funny it is.
That's awesome. Oh, but yeah, if you want feels, I don't know. Have you ever seen Derek on Netflix?
Oh, dude, I can't watch the special episode.
No, it's like a series with Derek with
Ricky
Gervais.
The new one that just came out, the new episode, is that what you're talking about?
I just started watching it.
Oh, I've seen everyone
about the show in general.
Great show.
I'm a huge Ricky Gervais fan. I have like every episode of all the podcasts, like 200 some episodes. I have. Have you ever watched Extras? Which I think is the greatest comedy show.
I really liked Extras,
bar none. I watched 2 episodes of Derek. I can't watch it because it's too depressing. Like, it's not the character he plays. Like, I don't find it funny. I just find it really, really sad and depressing.
It is. Yeah, it's kind of depressing.
Yeah, comedy takes a back seat in that whole show. So.
Yeah, I couldn't. I love Carl Pilkington, but I'm like, I cannot watch this.
Yeah.
He's like the funniest man on earth.
Carl Pilkington is fucking hilarious.
There's some really funny shit in that show.
He's only in part of series 2, which kind of sucks.
Yeah.
But,
It kind of does, and like later episodes, I think it does kind of balance out the depressing shit with I don't know, more lighthearted messages.
What's his best friend's name that drinks beer the whole time? Kevin.
Kevin, yeah.
Kevin. Oh, his storyline goes crazy. Like, yeah. he's probably got the highest arcing storyline of anybody in the series itself, but like it ends on a really awesome note. Like, it'll be good.
I have a really big problem with screen empathy. So if like people on TV are being taken advantage of, or
you get the cringes.
Yeah, I empathize with them too much. It makes me uncomfortable.
Yep.
So I cannot watch. I can't watch a lot of reality television for that reason. But anything where, like, you know, he's mentally handicapped, and it just, like, I can't do it. Just turn it off. Don't watch.
That show, like, is legit made me cry.
I'm going to watch The Arrow shoot.
But, I mean, all the people in his life, like, want to be him. They, like, think he's,
they,
like,
envy him.
They envy him.
Outrageously. And,
which, I don't know, you could say is depressing, I guess. Yeah. But it's also heartwarming in situations.
There's one funny part that doesn't spoil anything. Like, he goes on a date for the first time ever, like, at sometime in the series. It's not a big thing. And Kevin gives him a condom. And come to find out, the next morning they find the condom wrapper lying on the ground empty. And they're like, holy shit, like, did he have sex with her? Like, but he just blew up in a balloon and drew a face on it and gave it to her, like, as a gift to walk with. She's walking home with a blown up condom with, like, a ghost face on it, and, like, Kev and the main girl all trying to freak out, like, that he think he had sex with a girl. So funny.
Yeah.
I think my biggest concern with Dexter is Stephen Merchant isn't in it, which...
Derek.
Dexter's a whole different show.
Sorry. Wait a minute. Did I say Dexter?
Yeah
sorry. He also was not in that, which was depressing.
he doesn't even make a cameo or anything.
Have you seen a Stephen Merchant's show on, I think it was on HBO, it's called Hello Ladies?
Yeah, the one season. Did it cancel it?
I don't know. I've seen the first season. It's fucking awesome.
It is. He's the king of cringe humor.
I'd have trouble with cringe humor. Yeah. Like, all those embarrassing situations. Like, I never really even liked the show Doug when I was a kid, because it was all about those stupid, crappy, awkward situations that Doug would get himself into.
If it's like self-deprecating cringe humor, I can get along with more. But like, if he's like making the other person cringe, like, that's what, like, kind of gets me. But
I just cringe myself when people say awkward things in TV shows.
Yeah, I won't hesitate to give the show like the 15 second skip. Like, oh, it's crazy.
You guys should watch Extras. It's just a great comedy. My favorite Extras joke of all time is Stephen Merchant. He has a lady over for dinner, and he's cooking her dinner. And this is like in the second season. You've realized this time, like, he just has no game at all. And he's just like an awkward, like, middle-aged man that's going to be alone forever. But he gets this girl over, and he's cooking dinner or whatever. And they're like in a flat in London. It's like a small flat, and he has to go to the bathroom. So he goes to the bathroom, like, flushes twice and comes out, and he's like, you know, it smells. He's like, I am so sorry. He's like, I have a problem with the toilet. And so he, like, goes in, and he comes out, and he's like, sorry, I just had to, like, smash it down in there. And he has the whisk, and they're eating dinner. And she's like, you know, the scene just cuts. She, like, puts down her fork, but how many times has he unclogged his toilet with kitchen utensils? It's just that kind of humor that I...
Watched Life's Too Short with Warwick Davis and Stephen Merchant and Ricky Gervais?
I want to watch it.
Yeah, I want to see
really
that too.
It's really good.
You're just naming all these shows I've never even heard of before.
I saw the like promo when that show came out where they had, like, Johnny Depp on there.
Yeah. Warwick Davis runs a talent agency for little people. And, like, his own life is going to shit. Like, he's getting a divorce and everything like that. So he kind of just, like, starts taking all the acting jobs that come for little people instead of, like, putting them out to the crowd. And it's just Ricky Gervais is, like, supposed to give him, like, a leg up in the industry and everything. And they send him on some horrible shit to go do.
Have you seen where they meet Warwick Davis, how they got him? Have you seen the season of Idiot Abroad where Warwick Davis is on it?
I've seen the first, like, season and a half.
I don't like that show.
I love that show. But
how mean they are to that guy. I'm like, yeah, he's an idiot. But
he deserves every bit, because he's just like...
No one deserves to have that kind of horrible shit.
He's a judgmental asshole.
He's an asshole himself. Have you ever listened to him talk about other people?
Yeah, I'm a judgmental asshole too, though. I would hate to be put in those situations.
Now, his, like, the greatest thing is, like, all the ideas he comes up with.
He's just like... his refusal to accept other people's worldviews is hilarious. But
is that,
they do
it xenophobic when you're unwilling to.
Season where they do Idiot Abroad, and they decide to send Warwick Davis with them, and it's hilarious.
I haven't seen that one
because Warwick Davis is not happy to be there.
Which season is that?
It's like season three, and Carl Pilkington is not happy to have Warwick Davis. So like going to India and stuff, and like Warwick Davis is like, this is amazing. Look at all the sights we're seeing, and you know. Carl's like, well, you're a midget, so your life sucks, and I hate you, and I hate being here. It's just really, really awkward. And like, it starts out with Warwick Davis trying to be like really nice and helpful, and to a point where he's like, you're pretty sure Warwick Davis is going to murder Carl Pilkington. You should definitely give that season.
I think it's awesome. It's hilarious when Carl will latch onto like one facet of like the civilization he's in and just be completely like put off by it, and like it just like consumes his thoughts. He's like, I think he's like an idiot or something. And, like he learns that he's got to poop in a hole, and he's like, that's a thing. He's like,
oh, Carl, they built the Great Wall of China. He's like, yeah, but they eat rotten eggs, don't they? So it doesn't really matter what they build; they're fucking idiots.
I empathize with that. I wouldn't want to fucking poop in a hole. Like, that wouldn't be fun.
But he doesn't, not only does he not want to poop in a hole, but he has, like, a complete anxiety attack, like, mental breakdown, where he's, like,
have you ever
pacing.
Have you ever gone traveling? Like, I mean, you have.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's, you get into that situation, that mindset sometimes, where you're just, like, if I encounter one more thing that is fucked up and different than what I'm used to, I am going to fucking lose it. It's just something that happens when you travel sometimes.
Yeah.
But
when I was in Malaysia, they have the toilets you squat over.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like I don't have them. I've never had to squat and shit before. I'm not physically configured to do that in any capacity.
You mean you don't have one of those potty pals that you sit in front of your toilet and put your feet on? So
no. I mean, no, it's like there's no support. Your whole body weight is supported just like on the tip of your toes, or like however you choose to squat down. And there's like no like thing you can lean your back against or anything. So it's like you got to have balance. There's like a lot going on that I couldn't.
I'd say a lot of tourists fall on their own stuff. Like that.
Yeah.
I would totally fall on my own shit. Yeah.
I had to stay in a hostel. This is the only time I ever came to that breaking point.
Right, right.
I was in a hostel and. You know, I saved money. It was like $5 a week. So I'm like, I'm going to do $3 a week and you have to share a room with somebody. I'm like, I'll meet people. It'll be awesome. So this fucking Swedish guy comes in and the room is about half the size of this room. It's like two queen beds and a little bit of space between them. And like you put your stuff. So they come in like the first night I'm sleeping, the guy like is clearly masturbating like 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, it's cool. You know? This is broad. Something he's got to do. Whatever. Yeah. It'll be fine. Second night happens again, except it's like at 10 o'clock at night. And I'm like, clearly awake, like on my laptop.
Oh, God.
And like, dude, I am awake. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, could maybe you go to the bathroom? He's like, why would I masturbate in the bathroom? Why wouldn't I masturbate in bed? And I was like, I will go to the bathroom. I will be back in 5 minutes. He's like, well,
what if I, 5 minutes?
He's like, I think I don't need more than 5 minutes. He's like, you don't have to leave. I'm like, you do not understand. I was like, I don't know what they do in Sweden. And you clearly don't understand, but I absolutely have to leave because I am going to kill you. Yeah. I got from then on, I'm like, you know what? $2 more a week. I can do my private room.
Yeah.
That was the only thing, because you have no place to go. You have no one to talk. Like, there's nothing to do. It's like, I went and walked to a bar and spent most of the night there and then came home and passed out.
But that's the thing. Here you have options. Like, you can do whatever. But when you're, you know, by yourself or with a group of people in another country, like, you can't really just go running off somewhere because you might get lost and never find your way back. I don't know.
Yeah, I think the movie Hostel has sort of put me off hostels for all.
Hostels are fun. I had a lot. That was the only, I had a couple of bad experiences because I saved money by, instead of like renting an apartment or anything while I was there, I just stayed and I switched every week. So I stayed in like 20 different fucking hostels, but I had a lot of fun. I recommend them. Some are better than others.
Some you don't end up.
But the thing about a hostel is if you're traveling alone, which I was, is it forces you to meet people.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
And some of them masturbate next to you in the middle of the night. And some of them are really cool people you can go out and have fun with. It's hit or miss.
I think that's pretty much it for news. The Ouya is going bankrupt, but that's not
I thought it was bankrupt like a year ago.
No. They had to restructure like 2 months ago. What?
I don't even know.
Is it Ouya? Is it Ouya? I thought it was Ouya.
I think Ouya.
It's Ouya. Ouya.
What is that exactly again?
It's like an Android console.
It's weaker than this phone.
Yeah.
But four times the size. And it costs like $100.
It has an HDMI port on it. But that's not
so
really.
So you can play Marvel Puzzle Quest in HDMI and high def. I
see. With a controller.
With a controller. Doesn't have a touchscreen.
So, yeah, that's pretty much it. And I think that's pretty much it for the show.
Yep.
Is getting up there.
Everybody watch Star Trek 4 for May the 4th. Come on.
Yep.
Happy sun's getting awfully low.
Send us an email at Nintendo Podcast, Nintendo Dreamcast Podcast at gmail.com.
Anybody check the Gmail lately?
We don't have any emails. I checked it.
Send us an email. Like, even if it's not about video games, we will literally give you advice on anything.
Ask James.
Whatever it is. Yeah. Ask me any question. I will give you an answer. And if I don't know what you're talking about, I will still give you an answer. I'm not above rising above areas of my expertise.
Yeah, we can do romance. Some of us are married.
Yeah.
Children.
Romance, child, relationships. Pets. Midwiving, childbirth, pets. Like actually delivering children.
Yeah.
He's ready to go outside his comfort zone, learn something new.
Yeah.
I do have the skills of a Civil War era surgeon at best.
Like Phoebe.
We actually did go full midwife on having Charlie. I don't know if I ever told you guys that.
But yeah. In like a bathtub?
No, it was in a hospital room. But it was a midwife all the way up until the emergency.
Do you lube it up with goat butter?
Nope.
That's what you do on the range. They get some goat butter up in there so it slides right out. That's how I imagine if I was on the prairie, I would use some kind of butter.
some kind of animal butter.
Some kind of butter. And then just like get a rope in there and tie it around and pull it out.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm not sure you want to introduce dairy products into like ripped up, you know, vaginas. Some sort of
that's why
you got to cause an infection of some
that's
kind.
That's why you butter
yeast infection.
Yeast infection.
Yeah, yeah. You butter them so they don't get ripped. That's
yeah. You can butter it up, dude. Big butter vagina obviously delivers babies a lot better than
exactly.
Well, you're the Civil War surgeon. I'll take your word for it.
I'm pretty sure that's how Mary Todd Lincoln gave birth to her first child. It was a goat butter birth.
Goat butter birth.
That's something Phoebe said on like Friends once. It's like, I'm pretty sure I'm the reincarnation of a Civil War field surgeon.
I could take a bullet out of you. I've seen enough TV shows. You just take tongs and stick it in the hole and then pull the bullet out.
Just like I've seen every episode of
Longmire. And you pour liquor, like straight liquor into it before you do it.
Then you gotta cauterize the wound afterwards.
Yeah.
It's all done. And the cauterizer room, you just pull some gunpowder in it and just light it on fire and it cauterizes it right up.
I feel like that's a bad idea.
Or you can do with a road flare.
I've seen it in like four Clint Eastwood movies. Don't even give me shit.
You can cauterize with a road flare too, as I've learned from
Or a lightsaber.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, all right. Well, thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Good night.